now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, so you're here to hear the word today, right?
Amen.
Good. I'm glad you're here. And I want to talk today from Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be talking from verses 1 to 10, Pastor Alvin. Okay. I know you have that all memorized, so that's wonderful. And I want to talk to you about being alive in Christ, which some of you need some pump in you this morning, some pump action. Alive in Christ, we want to talk about that. And I want to remind you of things that you already know, but things you have to be reminded that you have so that you really embrace them and walk in them as well. And that's what Paul so wonderfully does in the book of Ephesians, is he just challenges us and inspires us to walk in the fullness of our identity and our inheritance in Christ. And Ephesians is just a rich book of truth about that. Well, let's start in verse 1, chapter 2. We'll go down to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Isn't that great? I mean, right there, we can just say, well, that's a done deal. That's awesome. It is by grace that you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. No one, okay? So if you want to boast and say, I did it, right there it says no one's to do that. He did it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. And then in the next following verses, it really, if you want to read those, verses 11 to 23, really, Paul gives you the tools to walk in that grace, just in case you wonder what that's about. But this morning, I want to talk to you about being alive in Christ. And as I kind of was thinking about this and praying about this this week, I thought about my own life in Christ. And I was thinking, like, when I experience Christ to the fullest, when I've experienced the freedom and the victory and this conquering mentality, and I've overcome, and I see transformation in my life, I'm like, that is really being alive in Christ, right? And then I thought, you know, but I want to talk and I want to share it, like a part of my life, like, where do I see Christ alive in me on a daily basis? And I really had to give that some thought and think about my journey and think about how I walk this walk of faith and how God has made me alive in Christ and how I desire that. And as I reflected upon being alive in Christ and enjoying being alive in Christ, that regeneration, that refreshing, that revitalization, I thought of a specific aspect of my devotional time with God. I felt that the Lord brought me to a specific part that I spend with God every day. And so I just was thinking about that, and he said, just think about the times that you spend with me each day. What aspect of that makes you feel so alive in me? So, because I was kind of thinking, well, all my accomplishments and the successes I've had and the things that I could really say that Jesus did. And God was saying, well, there's something even more specific than that, James, in your life. And so I thought of my quiet times, and then I thought of one aspect that I actually look forward to every single day in my quiet time. I worship the Lord. I love that portion. I have time in the Word. I love that. But there's a specific time that really refocuses my life and gives me an opportunity to be more alive than I was yesterday, and that is the time of repentance. The time to get my heart right. The time to ask the Holy Spirit to come and search my heart. The time just to wait on the Lord and not give him my laundry list of all the things that I thought I did wrong, but to wait until the Holy Spirit begins to, what? Draw me. Talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. How because of the blood of Christ, I'm drawn into the presence of God. Right? And so as I'm drawn into the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is wooing me into the presence of God, God is saying, James, I want you to take a look at this. James, I want you to be mindful of this. James, this has got to go. Get rid of it. This cannot stay whatsoever. And so then as I spend that time, I often think of the words that David uttered and when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You can't be alive in Christ without a renewed spirit in Christ, right? And so, cast me not away from thy presence. I think of Moses often from Exodus chapter 33, when Moses is seeking the Lord, and the Lord is asking him to get the people across the river, and he's saying, I will not go without your presence. I am not willing to go until I know your presence is with me. And often people leave, they get their coffee, they grab their work bag, they head out the door with the keys. They have had no time to have a renewed heart, renewed spirit. They don't invite the presence of God to lead them through their day, and they're wondering why they're not alive in Christ. And this is, we're talking back to the basics here. That's what Paul is talking to the Ephesian church. Again, there's no controversies here. He's not angry with them. He's saying, wait a second here. You're taking too much credit for what you have in Christ. He's saying, wait. You're too casual in your relationship with Christ. He's saying, you're not walking in the full identity you have in Christ. And he's saying, I want you to understand some specific privileges that now as a believer you have. Don't ever take them for granted. And so just like Moses is there with God and he's ready to lead the people, he already knows how the people respond. You already know how people respond. You know the minute you get the keys in your hand and head for that car, what you're heading into at work. You know when you get your keys and put them back in the ignition, when you're heading back from work, what you're heading into. Right? And some of us are laughing because it's very true. And he's saying to us, I want you to be alive in me. And so then he says, cast me not away, David says this, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I love this. Restore unto me the joy, not of my salvation, thy salvation. I always got that wrong. I would say my salvation. No. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You gave it. It was your gift. And you gave it to me, and I thank you for it. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And God offers us this privilege every single day. And so here I have this opportunity And you know, sometimes you just, when you get before me, sometimes you're not even aware. You're so excited about what you got to do yesterday. You're so thrilled that you're alive and you woke up today. And you can't wait to embrace what he has for you today. And then, so it's just like you almost forget that you really do need to do some inventory. You really do. And I'm not talking recovery. I'm talking just inventory on a daily basis. Just making that time to say, hey, show me. Make me aware. And then I'm going to get right. And then as I get right, then what happens? Then I'm willing to take on the challenges. Then I have the courage to face. Then I can live fully aware, fully alive, that Jesus has just done something in me that's prepared me for a wonderful day. He wants us to be so alive. Pinch the person next to you if they're not right now. Say, come on, you're alive in Jesus. If you have to kick their shin, wake them up, do that too, please. I love the Apostle Paul's way of reminding the believers at Ephesus that God the Father had called them to be fully alive in Christ, and that they had been given this privilege because they were engrafted into the vine. And now there was kind of this argument amongst the church that said, we're better than the Jews, right? We're better than everybody else because look at what we have in Jesus. And Paul's like, wait, hold on a second. You're all one. You're all one of the same body. And by the way, Gentiles, you had to be grafted in. He had to extend a privilege to you to receive what you have today. I want you to always be mindful of that, is what he's saying. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, about these 10 verses and how God has provided amazing privileges for you and I to be made alive in Christ. And so, can I say this? I'm alive.
Amen.
I am alive in Jesus. I love him with all my heart. But I can be naughty. Ask my wife. Oh, she's just laughing right now. She's just chuckling. I can be naughty. I can cop a major attitude. I can be rebellious in heart, mind, soul, and spirit. I can be defiant in relationship and behavior and habits. But can I tell you, every day he gives me the opportunity to get right. So yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm moving forward in my aliveness. So some of you, I just need to walk up to you this morning. And do you have any back problems?
No.
Good. Shake it! You know what I mean? Shake that thing off you and say, alive in Jesus, brother.
You shook it off.
Okay, good. What Ernest is saying is, get away from me before I step on your toe, pastor. That's what he's saying. But I just want to encourage you. Say it with me. I'm alive in Jesus. Okay, you just said it. And some of you with some excitement. But I'm talking about heartfelt praise. I'm alive in Jesus. I am not dead in my trespasses. I am not dead because of my past. I am not dead because of what was passed down from generation to generation. I am not dead because of my previous failures. I am not dead because I have not yet achieved that which God has planned for me. I'm fully engaged. I am revitalized, and I'm moving day by day in the things God's planned for me. Amen? And so are you. So are you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Can I tell you that? I am going to be a young youngster for Jesus when I'm 110. I am going to stir the crowd up when I'm 110, when they take my teeth out and my hair's falling off and I have a peg leg, I'm still going to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I didn't look at you for any reason, Pastor Alvin. I'm just saying amen. Okay, it's good. Well, I was, but anyway. So it's a great thing this morning. Can I inspire you?
Amen.
That's what I'm here to do. I want to inspire your hearts this morning to grab a hold of these very simple privileges I'm going to talk about. Things that you're so aware of, things that you've experienced, but things that if you're not reminded, you won't be led into that quiet time that you're supposed to have. You won't be led to understand that the presence of God is available every single day. You won't be led to understand that though you're seated here in this chair today that's going to be replaced in about 6 months, praise you, Jesus, even though you're seated in the earthly realm, you're really not seated in earthly realms. You're seated in the authority that Christ has given to you. You're seated there because of the privilege I'm going to mention first. And you see this privilege is necessary when you look at verses 1 to 3, and that is that you are fully made alive in Christ because of God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. And we all know amazing grace, but when you look at verses 1 to 3, you see why we desperately need amazing grace. Okay, and Paul outlines for each of us, he's saying we need amazing grace because of our trespasses, because of our past sins. And he's saying, you know, don't overlook these things. Don't live in them. Don't blame yourself. Don't be guilty. Don't be shamed. But he says, don't forget that you needed grace. You see, they were kind of getting a little lackadaisical, a little kind of casual, a little, hey, look at us, aren't we? We're shiny new as little Christians. He's saying, wait. You require grace. You require grace. You were caught in trespasses. Well, you know, and you're like, well, Pastor James, come on, really? Yeah, really. You were guilty. Not only were they trespasses, you were treacherously wicked and evil at one time. You were separated because of your shame and your guilt. And so you needed that grace. And that grace really eliminated the barrier. And we know that because the wall came down and peace was found in Jesus Christ. And so we see that if you don't understand that your sin was disgusting, that your sin was really a disgrace, and that your sin brought shame to the Lord, and it was vile and it dishonored his name. If you don't understand that and you won't admit it, then you don't walk in the totality of the grace he's provided. Right? Amen. If you just say, well, I was, well, you know, I did some stuff. I did some stuff. You say, no. You were a filthy sinner. You really needed my grace. And that's sin, you know, and we know the meaning of sin. What's sin mean? Help me out. What's the word sin mean? Separation from God. Missed the mark. Lost the prize. Right? That's what he's saying. And he's saying to them, you were about to miss the prize. Had grace not come into your life, you would have missed the prize. And if you don't walk in the grace that's been given to your life, you'll miss the prize. Amen. It's not that you had it and you don't need it, but you had it because you needed it and you're going to need more of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because why? He wants you to have the prize. He wants you to claim the prize. And he wants you to walk as a person who's earned the prize. And so he's highly encouraging the Ephesians. He's saying, you are ungenerated, regenerated people, and you're under the domination of the enemy. And your whole thought system and pattern of life was motivated and manipulated by Satan. Don't forget that. Don't live in that. But don't forget that. Don't kind of ignore that and just move on and just say you're a Christian. Because when you really understand that, then you actually will embrace that grace. And why did the Lord bring back to my attention that that part of my devotion is special to me? Not that I wallow in my past, not that I wallow in my sin. I want to get rid of it, right? But he reminded me that I truly rejoice, that I have the ability every day to be free from my sin. That means a lot to me. I am so blessed. So you don't have to remain where you're at, because you're going to get out of here today, and some of you will get in your car and somebody will be walking behind you and almost you'll, you know, knock them over maybe, or almost about, and you'll get that thing in you, you know. That happens all the time. And then we get to get rid of those attitudes every single day. I know none of you have those attitudes and none of you have those problems. And let me show you this beautiful video about grace. I think it really helps define it. Can we have the video up, please? Sound, action.
If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do. And you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
sometimes it's difficult to define things. I thought that really captivated the true heart of Jesus. And God wants us to realize that his grace is not about us, it's about him. And what is unforgivable in his grace is forgivable. That's so beautiful. And so wherever you feel that you're unworthy this morning, whatever that place is in you that kind of gnaws at you, bothers you, I want to encourage you to embrace this grace that I've been talking about this morning and to say, Jesus, I am meant to be a fully alive person in Christ. And so I'm asking you to extend a fresh outpouring of your grace on my life this week. Some of you, just today, turn that TV off and get quiet before the Lord. And let that grace just wash over your mind, over your soul, over your spirit, and refresh you, regenerate you, and cause you to declare that it's not about me, it's about him. Amen?
Amen.
He is so good. That's one of the privileges. Going to verse 4, go to verse 4 in chapter 2 here, where it says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is what?
Rich
in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace we've been saved. Isn't that awesome? And so we look at this and we see the next privilege, that we are made alive in God, and in Christ, because of God's great, rich mercy, his rich mercy. And because of his great love for us and his rich mercy. And what a wonderful way to encounter God, because of all God's attributes, none of them is more beautiful than his mercy. This is mercy. And mercy is simply love in action from the heart of our Father to us. Simply love in action. And this richness, you know, don't kind of just throw that little word aside. That adjective is put there for a reason. He wants you to understand this word rich means I am liberally opulent. Oh. Just liberally opulent. I'm abounding. I make you wealthy in my compassion. That's what he's saying. You are made wealthy in my compassion. No matter what your status, no matter what your past, no matter your current situation in your family, no matter what your education or job level is, he's saying there is a liberal outpouring of pity and compassion upon all who receive the grace of God in their lives. And he's saying to the Ephesians, you have looked at yourself too long as the ones who were just kind of outside and not really truly engrafted in. They were having an identity issue, an identity crisis. They didn't understand that once they were engrafted in, they were in. No apologies. And all that was accessible to the Jews, you now have all those privileges. And I talked about that last week, right? About really embracing your inheritance, right? We talked about that last week. And so now he's saying, okay, you've been made alive in me because of my rich, rich mercy. And he's saying, first of all, I don't allow a sinner, if they embrace my grace and they receive salvation, I don't allow you to wallow in shame. I don't allow you to wallow in guilt. I don't allow you to wallow in blame. I don't allow you to wallow like you're a piece of dirt. That's not who you are any longer. So why are you doing it? Is what he's saying to the Ephesians church. If you're engrafted in and you have the whole inheritance and everything's been given, why won't you just take the privilege of grace and mercy and say, I've been loved. I've been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
I've been loved. I've been forgiven.
Yes.
I've been loved. I've been forgiven. I've been loved. Uchi waba. Andare, andare, iba, iba, iba. This is awesome. Right, Marco?
Right.
It's wonderful. God comes to rescue those perishing by sin. He intervenes with this outpouring of great love and rich mercy. And that's why we need to pray for those who are far from God. That's why we need to continue to reach out to our community, because it's so easy to do an event like last week and say, our job's done. We are awesome people. God used us mightily. We raised all this money. And he's saying, are you kidding me? If they don't know me today, if they didn't know me yesterday, they don't know me today, then are you concerned about their tomorrow? If my grace is available to you today, and I'm with you today, and I'm pouring out mercy and grace and great love to you, do you think somebody else might need it? Right? So he's saying, no, you're actively, as you're actively being rejuvenated, it's because I need that aliveness to touch somebody else who's dead. He said, come on, you're the bridge. You're the bridge. Oh, joy is a bridge, but you're the bridge. And he's saying, come on, folks, connect with me. There is this man who is visiting a home where there are a whole boatload of kids. And these kids, he kind of became like a grandpa to them. And there were five little girls. And he just adored them. And so he would come as kind of a grandfather figure, and he would sit on the ground with them each week. And he'd play with them. And there was this the littlest girl who just was so adorable. And just she had this heart of compassion. And as he was playing with her, she brought out her doll collection. And she wanted him to play with her doll collection. And so he's playing with her, and he said, well, which of these is your favorite? And she said, none of these. He's like, oh, well, why aren't any of these your favorites? She said, well, I keep my favorite in a special place. He's like, well, I'd like to see your favorite if we're playing with your doll collection. So she walked in the room, and she brought out this rat-tat of a doll whose nose was broken off, whose one arm was broken this way, the dress was filthy, no hair, and one eye was kind of going this way and the other that way. And he didn't want to, like, react to her, but he said, well, why do you love this one the most when you had all these other ones? And the little girl replied, because she needs my love the most. And if I didn't love her, nobody would. That's mercy. That's mercy. And that's how God feels. And so we leave, and we're revived in the morning, and we've had our quiet time in the Word, and God's touched us again by grace, and he's reminded us of his love and commitment to us and his compassion and his pity for us. And then he's saying, okay, as you go, open your eyes and see the ones that others would ignore. And those are the ones I want you to love. Is that not beautiful? That's the mercy and the heart of God this morning. And we see here in verse 5 that we were dead but made alive. And since God deals with us through his great mercy, what he does is he unlocks and makes vulnerable a heart of a sinful person. That's what mercy does. Mercy prepares the heart to receive the grace that can transform. Mercy is the invitation that draws us into that relationship where we might open our heart afresh to the grace of God. And verse 6 says that we who were buried and said, now we're raised up and we're seated in the, we're seated in heavenly places. And he's saying, I don't want you to, I know you live on earth, but your mindset about how you live on earth and what you used to be on earth and what used to hold you back on earth, he's saying, part of my mercy and my rich grace and my mercy is you're no longer to behave like somebody who's earthly. You're really to be set in a heavenly mindset. Doesn't mean we're above everybody else. And it doesn't mean we kind of float on a cloud and we're clueless to what's happening here on earth. No. He's just saying that your mind has been transformed into Christ-like ways of thinking. And you have that place of authority and that mercy that gives you that authority now to walk in me. You're walking in authority. And you can pray so differently when you understand that authority. When you repent and you understand the authority Christ has to forgive you of your sins, you want to get that out of you right away. Say, like, get rid of it. Events. So I guess you do have to hear it again. Because today's a new day, right? Today is not the 22nd. And it's not yet the 24th. Today is the 23rd. And today it's 10:27 right now. And I have 3 minutes to finish the sermon. And so it's a new day. So it's a new day and a new way to walk in grace and mercy in the divine purposes of God. So yes, you do need to hear about this today. Because today is a new day. And he's saying it's based on daily events, daily circumstances, or situations that are orchestrated and arranged by the hand of God today.
Amen.
Isn't that great? That's what the divine purposes of God are for the daily events, circumstances, and situations. Any of you have had any events today yet? Some of you have? Good. Well, get ready because you will. Okay, you will. Some will be welcomed, some will be a surprise, and some you wish never happened. Just to let you know. But don't worry, because you're alive in Christ. And so embrace God's divine purpose. Your divine purpose is made up of several divine opportunities and situations and events planned daily and arranged daily by God so that we who are saved, delivered, healed, lifted up and promoted by God into heavenly places will be willing to share that good news so that others in turn will experience that grace and that rich mercy. It's all working together for the purposes of God. How wonderful. Paul says, be careful to exclude your human effort, he's saying to the Ephesians. He's saying, don't take credit. This work of grace is totally of God. That's why it's a gift. And it removes your need to boast. You know, yes, we have our testimonies, but remember, it's not your testimony, it's the grace of God that gave you the testimony. It's God's grace that gives us the testimony. And so the boasting shouldn't be in the sinfulness. The boasting should be in the deliverance from the sin. The boasting shouldn't be about the shame and the blame. Actually, it talks about in Ephesians, further down in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, you shouldn't repeat those things that have been done in secret. That's what it talks about. Those things that are shameful and done in secret. Don't boast about those things. Boast about what the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. Boast about those things and what they've done for you. They far exceed what you ever were. Isn't that powerful? So he said, those are the good works. That's where the boasting is in the deliverance of in Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying to the Ephesians, no believer can claim any extraordinary effort to be godly so that they might receive grace. You didn't do anything that really was so outstanding before you received the grace of God that he wanted to save you. He's saying, no. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where grace is needed. Do we all know this truth? Yes. But we're not talking about what we know. We're talking about what we need to live like. Right. We all know a lot of things. He's saying, I know you know a lot of things, Christians. This is what Paul's saying. I know you know a lot of things, Ephesians. But you're not acting, you're not living, and you're not moving in God like you believe this, is what he's saying. And I'm saying you are a workmanship of God to do good works. And I'm saying, he's saying this to the Ephesians, grab a hold of grace in a new way. Grab a hold of rich mercy and great love in a new way. And stop boasting about how you got engrafted into the vine and give credit where credit's due. You didn't have anything to do with it. Don't take it away from what happened on the cross. I did it. And when I did it and you received the fact that I did it, you're so much more alive in me than you ever will know. You're so much more alive. And if you're not alive, get alone with me and do what Pastor James told you he does. Get quiet. Let me take you on a journey of what my grace has done in your life. You'll be celebrating. And you know what? I sense that. Some of us, we're going through our difficult situations, some difficult relationships. Some of us, Sue talked about, you know, that when she was praying, like some financial things and job things and heavy-hearted. And he's saying, today's the day. I'm not just talking about a good idea. Pastor Jesus is not just preaching a sermon because he wants you to feel good. He's saying this is accessible every day. You got to, hello, do you want it? Do you believe it? Then function in it is what he's saying to the Ephesian church. Do you want it? Do you believe it? Then walk in it. Let's stand and make that commitment this morning. Lord, we just commit our hearts as we stand in your presence.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.